Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Whiskey Congress. So we recorded our pre-Super Bowl show, which is now released. And then Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia, happened. And if you don't know this, I don't know how you couldn't, if you listen to our show and care enough about politics, the Democratic governor of Virginia, recently elected, recently sworn into office, he's a doctor by education, and his med school yearbook contained a picture of him and other pictures, including two people, one in blackface and one in a Klan costume, clearly associated with him and his yearbook. He initially owned it and said, you know, I apologize, it was insensitive, please judge me for what I've done since then. And then he subsequently has come in and said that neither of those people were me. So our
But he also said, I had done it before, but this particular time it wasn't me.
Now, I thought before was I dressed up like Michael Jackson. Okay. And that, so I've given Steve, to keep, so the basis of our show is, we're going to talk about race, we're going to talk about things in an honest, open way. Steve is now carrying a penalty flag. The day of the Super Bowl we're recording this, he now has the white-splaining flag. So if I am being accused of white-splaining, he will throw the flag, we'll do an instant replay review or whatever. But I wanted to give you that as a way of telling me I'm going off the rails because initially I wanted to defend this guy. Initially, I wanted to say, you know what? What he did in 2019 is racist as fuck, and it was racist as fuck in 1984. People just tolerated that shit then. And that doesn't make it right, but if this was the one strike on his record, I would have said, okay, you can still be governor. You were elected. You can dig out of this. He lost me when he flip-flopped on his whole story because now credibility is gone.
Go ahead. Yeah, so, I mean, listen, in 1984, 1985, don't tell me that this was any more accepted then, right?
Like, oh, it absolutely was, Steve. Come on. I was 13, 14.
Accepted by y'all.
Okay.
I mean, white people thought it was fine.
That's what.
Okay. I mean, most black people have always had a pretty strong anti Ku Klux Klan, you know, thought process. And you know, a guy dressing up in blackface, was that more tolerated?
That's what I was really trying to say.
Okay,
which still shouldn't have been
right. I mean,
but it was.
And you look at
the Klan
it.
Klan thing was fucked. Probably worse than
in the right. Days. I mean, because it looked like they were in some sort of like unit. It's just like you just up as a Klan member, and then I'll be the black guy, right? And we'll go back and forth with the racist jokes all night. Hee hee ha ha.
Right.
And then this was published in a medical school yearbook, which tells you yes, it was more accepted, but by whom? By you guys, right?
Yeah.
By white people,
yeah.
Right? Like that's who it was more accepted by. I mean, it was. There's no way you can sit here and tell me that the people that I was associated with at that point in time when I was 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
But my parents and my family wouldn't have looked at that and just brushed it aside.
No, right? Totally fair. And honestly, most white people would have bristled at the Klan costume and shrugged their shoulders at the blackface.
And then there's
it doesn't make it right. I'm just being real.
And then in today's culture, what's happening is there are white people saying, well, what about when black people dress up like white people? Right, and they paint their face white, right? Like the whole thing with,
so fucking much.
You know, with the weatherman, what's his name, the guy on the Today Show,
Al Roker.
Yeah, Al Roker dressed up as Doc from Back to the Future, And people were like, "That's like reverse blackface." Like, there's no history of, you know, like listen, a black person, like it just if you look at the what blackface, where it comes from, its roots. It's awful, degrading, dehumanizing. Like that was its whole purpose was to degrade and dehumanize.
But
and,
honestly, and, people like me didn't know that as kids because we didn't see it.
Okay, that's
it doesn't make it right.
Right. Just, I mean, that doesn't real. Change it though.
No,
I mean,
no, absolutely does not. It's why it's so visceral to you and doesn't hit me at the core until I got older and learned more. I mean, now I get it. I've now seen the minstrel cartoons and the, you know, other things that were just degrading, dehumanizing, and whatever. But in 1984, if I would have seen those two things, I would have said, that Klan thing pisses me off, it's disgusting, and the blackface would not have bothered me. I'll admit, at, you know, fast forward 20 years, I was wrong. It just wasn't ingrained in me.
Right, and then there's a whole idea that, well, you know, slavery was a long time ago, and the Civil Rights Movement was a long time ago, and so we should just all let it go, and if we don't talk about it, then it doesn't exist. Right, and it's just like, by continuing to talk about it and continuing to be outraged by it, then it by doing that, we therefore
perpetuate it. Yep.
And first of all, it just, I don't know if this can be said enough, but as long as I'm alive, it wasn't that long ago. If you think about 1963, 64, the early 60s,
right?
And you look at some of those pictures.
Which, by the way, is when Ralph Northam was born.
Right. But so, if you look at some of those pictures from the Civil Rights Movement in the early 60s, and you look at little, you know, kids going to junior high school, kids going to elementary school, they're kids. And the people in those pictures, the white people that are screaming at them, throwing things at them, holding signs saying they don't want to go to school with niggers and stay away, nigger, and this, that, like, those kids were the same age. Right? Like, so if you think about it, Martin Luther King would have been 93 years old this year.
Died in 68, but I don't know how old
he was. Right. So I think he was 36 when he died.
Was that young?
He was very young. So if you think about it, like, he would have been in his early 90s, and that means people, you know, 10 years, 15, you know, 20 years younger than him, right? Like, so he was 36, someone 20 years younger would be, what?
16.
16, mm-hmm. Yep. Right? So that would put them in their mid-70s right now. Those people had families.
Okay.
Those people had grandkids, and those people had children, and do you honestly think that person who didn't want to see that black girl go to school with them, or those black kids eat at the counter, did those feelings just go away? Like, oh, well, they, you know, you had these, you know, Brown versus Board of Education, so we're good. Like, all my racism is now gone, and I'm not passing this on to my kids and my grandkids, right? And that's where the whole idea of, well, racism has just gone away, it's not there anymore, it's made up. Like, listen, you had an entire country, right? An entire country, save for a small percentage, that were against everything that was black people. They didn't want to live with them. They didn't want to go to school with us. They didn't want us to work side by side. They didn't want us to have anything. We weren't allowed to walk on the streets without being harassed either by civilians or the police. We were legally allowed to be jailed for things that white people weren't, that wasn't a crime for them, right? That was in the 50s. That was in the early 60s. That changed in the 60s and 70s, and there are parts of Virginia, Alabama, Mississippi that have lawsuits that are literally still, that were trying to fight these things, that were trying to fight desegregation into the early 2000s. And there's a lawsuit down in, I believe, Alabama or Mississippi that's still going on about desegregation. Okay, right? And I think I brought it up on the show.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, but I probably got to learn it from you.
So the whole idea that, well, racism has just gone away and it's just something that black people make up, like, racism has changed, right? It's not nearly as overt. And I think, like I said on our show that we went through this week, I mean, like, we're at a point now where, you know, there are people of base, white people are saying, listen, as long as I'm not in the Klan, as long as I don't have a white Aryan nation tattoo, a swastika, and as long as I don't call niggers to their faces, then we're good.
Right.
Right. That's where we're at, right? Like, I mean, and so it's a messed up time, but the whole idea that in 1984 this was fine, that's relative to who you're talking about, who it was fine for.
You're absolutely right. And I, so I've been thinking about this a lot and how to use my words, hence the white splaining flag. And I do want to do an entire show dedicated to, like, progression of race, but I don't want to get into that today. Because specific to Ralph Northam, pretty much every Democrat and every black politician has said, you got to resign.
Yep.
I think Barack Obama, oddly, I think is the one exception. And I don't know if he said don't. I think he has remained quiet on it. Where, all right, I have thoughts on this. What are your thoughts?
How do you trust someone, right? As one of the black people in his state, how do I trust this guy? Right? How do I trust that this guy actually gives, like, you already know as a citizen that I think there's very few politicians that you actually believe have your best interest at heart. White, black, Latino, whatever. And then when you get into all the different groups that there are, how do you sit there and look at that guy and think, man, there's something that really impacts me as a person individually, and maybe it's based on race. Does this guy actually have my best interest at heart? You know, and you look at him, you look at what he did then you look at his response, he owned it, then he flip-flops on it. Can I trust him? And I think the answer is no. And if I'm in his state, I want to see him go. And part of that, people are going to go to the, well, that's the mob mentality. And, you know, so the opposite is let him stay, see what he does. But the problem is I can't trust him. And if I let him stay, then that sort of mindset that he has, that he may have, and I don't know if he has it, right? I don't know what his mindset, right? He said he's changed, right? And, you know, everything he's doing and everything he's about is, you know, equal thing for everybody, and you know, he loves black people and the whole thing, and, you know, everything that every person that gets caught in this says. But there's a trust issue there, and I don't know if it can be won back in the next 4 years.
Okay, so I can't argue with any of that. If he had owned it from the beginning, or denied it from the beginning, at least given the potential that he's being sincere on one level or the other, I would be defending him. To a degree. I would say it's up to him now to state him, you know, where he is, what he grew up as, where he is now, what his goals are. When he did that flip-flop, when he literally said two things, one of which by definition has to be a lie. You either were that guy or weren't. I mean, this is in his med school yearbook, which means he's in his low to mid-20s at the time. He's not 16-year-old or 17-year-old Brett Kavanaugh. He's deemed smart enough to get taught how to perform surgery. I don't know if that was a specialty, but anyway.
But here's the thing. The reality is now we're at a point where, you know, you got a guy like Steve King.
Right.
Who's been, you know, a representative for Iowa for the last 18 years. And he has progressively gotten worse with his racism. Right? Yeah. To the point where
more vocalist.
Right. I mean,
he's probably been consistent.
Well, yeah, but vocal. I mean, his expressing it, you know, to the point where he came out this year and said, oh, what's so offensive about being a white supremacist, right? Or about calling someone.
Term,
or, yeah. And so when you get to that point, and you still saw very little, you know, pushback against him, It's hard to look at this guy and say, like, if Steve King still has a job, you know, how can I demand that this guy step down when it was, you know, 30 years ago?
Right.
And part of me says, you know, get out of the, I'm offended, I'm pissed off. You know, is the guy good at his job? Did he make a mistake? Or did he do something stupid? I don't want to call it a mistake. He did it intentionally.
Well, so Don Lemon said, this isn't stupid, this is racist. And the answer is, it's both.
Right, it is both. And I think part of what you said earlier was for a percentage of the population, this was okay at that time.
Yeah, at that time.
You know, in the early 80s, for white people, you know, this was a funny joke. So what do you do? You know, I mean, the reality is, what do you do? And I think initially, you want to be in the group that says this guy has to go. But then when you look at it, you know, and this is, I'm just thinking this out loud.
This is as organic as we can make it.
You know, how offended am I? And part of it is just the nothing surprises you anymore. Right, like there is no surprise. Okay. Like my level of offense is just like, all right, well, you know, there's just a certain, I guess, level of expectation, right? With especially when you have,
when someone came out and said Trump dropped an N-bomb and Celebrity Apprentice, and you were like, okay, is that shocking?
Why? No. That's not shocking, right? I mean, like, there's like none of this shit is shocking anymore. It's not shocking when you have a white person of interest, whether they're celebrity or politician or whatever, with something sketchy in their past, whether it's racist or sexual or sexually whatever.
Appropriate. Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, none of that shit is shocking anymore. It's not shocking when you have a black person that comes up with, you know, like, oh, they were embezzling money or they made a deal with whatever or did something. Like, none of it is shocking, right? So now we have to figure out, what are we willing to live with and what are we not willing to live with? You know, am I willing to live with this guy being in a position of power who did something that was clearly racist, but to this point, does he have anything else on his track record that tells me that he's going to go out and intentionally harm people in his jurisdiction, in his state, of color just because of the color of their skin? And the reality is, I don't think I have anything that tells me that.
You also don't have much of a track record, though, because he's only been in office for...
I don't have a track record, but, I mean, he's got a professional record as a...
Sure. As a doctor.
So, I mean...
Soldier.
You can... You got to dig, right? If other things start to pop up, right, where it's, like, legit, like, this guy is actually dangerous because of the positions that he's held and because of his feelings towards black people, he's actually caused them harm... and he's going to make decisions that will deliberately hurt certain parts of the population, then I think you have to. So in reality, what has to happen is that you have to do a deep dive on this guy, figure out who and what he is, and then go off there. If there's nothing else, and this is the only thing, then I think he can stay. He should stay. But if there's more, right, and it's like it's and not one of those hit jobs that. You know, opposition research where, you know, you take these vague sort of things and then you have a bunch of circumstantial stuff. Like, it needs to be legit, you know, where he treated black patients a certain way and treated white patients another way, or, you know, he's got this terrible, you know, mortality rate with black people or whatever, you know, or you hear these horrible stories from when he was in the military and how he treated, something like that.
Or, you know, people from his past are coming forward and go, oh, you mean old racist Ralph? Yeah, that's what we used to call him. Yeah,
stuff like that. I mean, I think that, like, you have to do that sort of dive and then kind of sort it out and figure out what's real, what's not. Because I think with Kavanaugh, this is kind of what happened where, you know, people started coming out of the woodwork.
Right.
And then you had to figure out some of that was fake. Like the Stormy Daniels lawyer, Avenatti, he brought somebody in who was a liar.
And Gloria Allred, I think, did too.
And Gloria Allred brought in someone who was sketchy.
Ultimately disappeared. Right.
And so... Like, you got to kind of wade through that, figure out what's real, what's not, and then, again, figure out what does this guy show a pattern? And if there's no pattern there, then I think he stays. The flip-flop, bad advice. I don't know who gave it to him, if he got advice from a PR firm, or maybe he legitimately said, oh, you know what, that actually isn't me. Like, I've done dumb shit, but that's not me.
It's possible. It's also impossible to know, because, I mean, the one guy in blackface is impossible.
Right, and the other guy's got a hood. Right, I mean, like, so, you know, it's hard to say, but I think I got a picture that with your name right beside it.
Unless he weighed 280 pounds in med school, you're like, okay, that dude never weighed.
Right, exactly. So,
but he didn't.
So I think you look at it and you say, this is... You know, initially you got to slap him on the wrist. Then you do a little bit of a dive, figure out what his track record is. If there's more smoke, then you douse it, you punt him. If not, then you keep him and you just say that was dumb, but it was also 30 years ago, and you move on.
So let me throw a thought out there and see where you stand. You want to grab the white splaining flag now? I think he should decide first off if he still thinks he can perform the job of governor, which he, at this point, has said he can. This is a perfect situation where there should be an impeachment proceeding. The state, because to do that deep dive, to do that research, to say, we're going to look into this guy.
Listen, stop. It's not a crime. He didn't.
No, it's not a crime. But the state of Virginia can impeach a governor.
They can.
And you can impeach a governor for what? High crimes and misdemeanors, but also maybe impeachment's the wrong word. Then there should be some way of saying, you know, putting the ball in Northam's court and saying, look, you open the floodgates. We got to look into this. If you want this to end quietly, step down. If you want to dig in and say, for 30 years, you've been a stalwart, decent human being, and you can withstand the scrutiny, then...
I think we got to be careful. Listen, the problem with that is, once you go down that road of, you've been elected, we now don't like it, whether we're Republicans or Democrats, someone pulls something out from your past, now it could be anything, right? Now it could be a picture of a guy who...
Look at Al Franken.
Right, like Al Franken, or, I mean, what if it gets to a point where, hey, here's a picture of this guy, you know, naked with a girlfriend, you know what I mean? Like, now it's, like, it could, now you're opening the floodgates, and you're going down a slippery slope, and pull any cliche that
somehow
you want.
Donald Trump in a pink bathrobe.
I mean, all those different
things. Sorry
for
putting that picture back in
your head. But just think about that, right? Like, so now we're saying, oh, you took a, there's a picture of you doing something, so now we're going to remove you from office because we don't like something that you did 30 years ago. I think
I agree with that fundamentally.
I mean, I think we need to slow down. Like, okay, I was, you know, there's the initial reaction. And I think the proper reaction is actually, you know what? Now, like, here's the deal. Chances are you don't get reelected. Reality is...
Very, very likely.
The reality is you don't get reelected. But if you work for the people for the next 4 years, right, to the point where you knock it out of the ballpark and we forget about this, right, then now, okay, maybe you do get reelected. And maybe if you can work to the point where we can forget about it, then okay, great. Right. And right. I think that that's what I mean. I don't like the idea of removing someone from office because we don't like something that they did 30 years ago. And yeah, it was racist. But the problem is that you don't like it now because the person is racist and it's a white guy. But let's say now it's a black guy and conservatives come in and say he did something 30. There's a picture of him, you know, with Hennessy and a joint. Let's punt him.
Well, stepping on John F. Kennedy.
I don't know. I mean, but it just, you open the floodgates for retaliation, right? When it's someone...
Those floodgates have been opened, right? Yeah. I mean, so many Republicans are just drooling over this. Cause it's a Democrat, we get to burn you now. Well, fucking maybe not.
Right, and then it's also, and you know, for the GOP people that are like, why does this guy get to keep his job? And the Democrats are hypocrites and blah, blah, blah. Right. Like... You guys still haven't done shit with Steve King, so just pump your brakes, right? Like, you've got a guy who's been openly racist in your ranks for the last decade plus, and you refuse to do or say anything about it, right? Along with, you know, the number of other people who have done and said racist things. Now, listen, both sides of this, Democrat, Republican, have had people with terrible histories. Robert Byrd, who's the other guy that I'm thinking of?
The South Carolina guy that...
Yes. And I can't think of his name.
What's his name?
Like him and his son, and I can't think of it. But, I mean, like, you have people on both sides.
It was the guy who ran... He ran as a Dixiecrat. Fuck, what's his name?
Sorry. But the point is, Democrat, Republican, both sides have sordid histories with race.
Sure.
Right? Like, in Republicans, well, we're the party of Lincoln, and it wasn't for us, and blah, blah, blah. Like, just get out of here. Like, you're so insincere. Okay. Right? Like, you're so insincere. Just stop. Right? And Democrats, you're no fucking better. Right? Like, I mean, because the truth is, like, your party originally was the party that was against black people and against the civil rights movement and everything else. Yeah, flip-flop.
Strom Thurmond,
yes. And he had a son, too.
He did, yeah.
But both sides have a sordid history with race, so neither one can claim the moral high ground. And the one place you could go with this is that there's a thing called Blexit, where black people are leaving the Democratic Party. And... My whole thing with this is that, which is, I'm fine with that, but you have people like Candace Owens and Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro saying, Blexit is great, come to the GOP, come to the Republican Party, we care about you. Shut the fuck up, no you don't.
Right.
Right, actually neither party...
It's more like the Bulwark thing, right? Remember the movie Bulwark?
Stop with the bad movies. So neither party really actually gives a shit about black people, they care about black votes, right? And Republicans feel that if we can get black votes, then we can dominate the... political scene for the next however many, right? Like, there's nothing that they're really doing or going to say or do that's actually going to help black people just stop, right? And then everyone's going to point to this crime bill that they pass, and it's just like, well, it's not a criminal justice reform, it's prison reform, and if they were really worried about criminal justice reform, they would look at the reasons why people are going into the jails, not worrying about what happens once they get out, right? If you really want to fix this, You'll address the issues of the people, of what's going on, what's driving people into jails, into private prisons, into federal prison. You'll look at those issues and try to address it before they get there, not once they're there and they get out. Right, like you have, it has to be twofold. It has to be
both those things, though, right?
Like you need,
once people get out, they can't be permanently fucked by the system.
Right, we have too many people that are in, so you have to address it on the back end. But in reality, if you really, really want to fix this, you'll address it on the front end. So that's why I say, if you're a black person, yeah, leave the Democratic Party, but don't go running to the GOP. They don't give a shit about you either, right? Like you just stay independent, and then you vote as you need to, right? Like if you've got, I mean, and it's a pain in the ass, but. Listen, if you care, there's nothing that, like if you things that you care about, like they don't always come easy, right? Like, so you have to pay attention and you have to look at, you know, who's doing what and saying what and figure out how to vote your conscience and all the other stuff. But you actually have to get in there and pay attention to the various issues and figure out how to vote from there. You can't just follow anyone blindly just because, you know, it's the new wave or it's the new hashtag.
And if you stay in the Democratic Party or leave and become a Republican. Don't do what so much of America and maybe the world does and just follow your tribe blindly. Like, I have no trouble calling out Ralph North.
What I just said, but okay.
Okay, well, okay, but Blexit is leave the Democratic Party. Okay, even if you don't leave, just hold them accountable. If you join the Republicans and they fuck you over, hold them accountable. White people do the same thing. I mean, there's way too much, this is my tribe, I'm going to stick with this. So, you know, logic be damned. I'm not going to defend Ralph Northam, you know, tooth and nail. If he stays in office, I'll say, people of Virginia, you made your choice. You know, if
well, there's no, like, again, there's no mechanism for them to, like, you can't, like, again, the idea you're going to impeach him based off of a picture, if it's that easy.
I was going to impeach him for lying, but he didn't lie
under
oath.
To who?
He lied to the, because... constituents. Okay, well, again, but it was not under oath. No, you're right. You've got me to back off of that position.
Yeah, it just I think we have to, you know, have some common sense here, you know, and kind of back off the mob mentality. You know, which is tough. It's tough because we get sucked into it, but it's not popular, and there are certain people who will. You know, I mean, our show is not big enough, but there are certain people like a Dr. Jason Johnson or a Karen Hunter would come after my neck right now if they listened to the show and heard me say what I just said, right? Like, sure. He needs to resign, he needs to be gone, and blah, 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 right? Like, there's no movement with them, there's no...
It's a one-strike policy, and
especially
a 30-year-old strike.
Right, and they're not going to move off of it.
Right.
You know? And here's the thing, I'm not going to move off my stance. I don't think you can remove a guy from office for this. I don't think he should necessarily step down, but I think that someone should put the energy into looking into what his track record is. And if you can all of a sudden put together like multiple instances of where this guy is proven, like his behavior, his pattern of behavior shows a complicit bias against this group of people, right? Which is nearly impossible to show, but some people are dumb enough to leave that pattern. Right?
Like a guy who takes a picture with a
exactly. Right? Like, I mean, like, so if he's dumb enough to do this, then even though he's denying it, then you have to look and see, are there other markers that he's left over the last 30 years leading up to this point that tells you, you know what, maybe this guy is too dangerous for us. You know, maybe he actually is looking to harm a specific group of people. And then that's a different conversation. But I think someone has to do that and put that energy in first. Before we go demanding that this guy resign.
And I think it's on him. If he feels he can't win back the trust of the people, then he should resign. If he thinks he can, then he should let that process play out. You want to wrap it up there?
Wrap it up, B.
All right, man.
In terms of whiskey, folks, by the way, went back to the Woodford Reserve Double Oak. Really good. Really smooth.
I made a Manhattan with Weller's, the Weller's Special Reserve, which was also really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I used the fancy cherry and the...
good
so
vermouth?
I kind of took a...
did you use good vermouth or did you use crap vermouth?
It was good vermouth. It was okay. Not the... I forget which brand I... The Rossi is what I use.
Okay.
All right. So here's our pre-Super Bowl...
Pre-Super Bowl. By the time that this posts, the game will be over. But I did put... I scribbled a little prediction here on Friday. I did put it on our Instagram story
Okay.
Today. So it'll be there for 24 hours. I've got the Rams 31, Pats 28.
I think I had 21-17. I'm predicting a shock. I know a lot of people are going to say that. And the over-under is 56, by the way. So the over-under says I'm out of my mind. But sometimes these games get a couple turnovers.
Because you're smarter than Vegas.
I think when I was in Vegas, I proved that
you're not smarter than Vegas.
On that note, let's wrap this up. Good talking to you, brother.
Yep.